Hello, everyone. This is Jesse Gasparo, and this is the Practical Christian Podcast. With me today, as always, Jesse Baptiste.
Hi, guys.
And for the first time, we've got Matt Glazer.
Hello.
Matt, thank you for taking the time to be with us. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Matt Glazer. I grew up in Northeast New Jersey, very close to Jesse. I've been married for over 11 years. I have three children. And so the Lord has definitely blessed me, and I'm very thankful for that. I grew up in North Jersey, and I've never left North Jersey. I've always lived within like 10 miles of where I grew up, so you could say I don't get out there much, but there's a lot to do in New Jersey, so I encourage you to move there if you want to. But so that's me.
Texas.
Yeah, that's fine. You render to Caesar.
Yeah. Matt is the brother of my brother-in-law. So we're always at birthdays and family functions. Thank you for taking the time. The question we're going to talk about today is, why are many young individuals distancing themselves from the church and leaving or displaying indifference towards the Lord's things? Very good question, and not an easy question to answer. So I'll open in prayer, and then Matt, I'll let you start us off. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we give you thanks for this time that we can come together to spend seeking to discuss and talk about this question. We are just grateful for this platform and this opportunity. We pray, help us to have wisdom, and help us that as we discuss this question, it wouldn't just be information, but the desire would be to speak to the heart of the questioner. And we just pray that if the person who asked this is considering leaving or feeling indifference towards your things, that we would be able to encourage them. We just pray for grace and wisdom, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. So as you said, Jesse, this is a very good question. I think because it hits a lot of us very closely. Many of us, if you're listening, it means you probably haven't left yet, or you're not showing that much indifference to the Lord things. That's maybe a bad assumption, but if not, you know somebody, and probably know somebody that's close to you, that has gone off and done their own things, and it's hard to maybe keep a relationship with you because they have different interests, and maybe their interests are just really wildly out of line with Christian values. Sometimes that happens, and it can be very discouraging. It can be discouraging to see numbers in churches go down. Not that numbers are everything, but it's a little bit of a testimony. And it's very discouraging to see family or friends that are close leave. And if somebody is actually on the verge of leaving, obviously they're in a really state of need. So it's a very good question. One thing I would say is the question was general about why are so many people. I guess I would say I'm not sure that's true everywhere. I think there are places in the world where the gospel is really, I've heard it. It's not where we are in what we call the West. But in other places in the world, the gospel is on fire and souls are being saved tremendously. And so in some areas of the world, it might be the opposite of what we have here. And that brings me to the first point, which is what we read in Revelation 3:17, that I'm rich and in need of nothing. And so one of the reasons I think people are leaving is their perspective might be off, that they look at everything around them and they think, well, I don't really need church. It doesn't put food on my table. It doesn't, whatever need you're going after. And in fact, when we're taught the hierarchy of needs, church is probably, a by thought on there. It's lumped in with a lot of other social things. And so it could be just replaced with something else. But just this thought that I don't need the Lord, I have a college education or a good job or whatever it may be. And most of us in the West are not really struggling for our basic needs. And so we have this thought that I'm enriched and need nothing. And we see everybody else going after that. And so it becomes very hard. It becomes easier to do what everyone else is doing, which is going after a good job and a nice car and a nice house. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to do and doesn't leave a lot of time and effort for the Lord. And so I think some of it is this perspective of seeing everything around us focused on what we call the world and not on the Lord, and getting a complacent attitude.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, that's the biggest, I believe that's one of the biggest things that have taken over many of our eyes. It's the material things. It's what's inbred in you, right? In the West, right? So you get out of high school, first thing, where are you going to college, right? And what career are you going to have? And so the focus is always shifted towards that, you know, and you have to pick a good career because you have to be able to, you know. So I mean, it's the focus is mainly on that here, you know, as you say, in the West. And so that's what the young people are geared towards. And so, you know, in order for you to reach that place that you want to get to, right, it takes years and years. I mean, you're talking about, you have to do your bachelor's, and now bachelor's not enough, right? You have to do your master's, and now master's not enough. So you're talking about years of schooling, you're talking about years of focus, and then in between that, you have to raise a family, you have to raise kids, and so all these different things. And so people are like, well, what can I take out my schedule, right? And the first thing they try to take off their schedule is going to church, right, and going to meeting or meeting with other believers. And I saw a study, and it said that children who usually leave they said, what, 90% of people who stay, their mother and their father were dedicated to the meeting or to the church, right? They went to weeknight meetings. They were involved in camps or different stuff like that. When one parent is not dedicated, it drops down to 70%, right? And they said when two parents, it's basically less than 20%. And so that's the effect that we also have on our children. So if the children see us also focused on, you know, material things or focused on wealth or trying to better ourselves, their level of looking at as important the things of the Lord drops from 90 to 20, right? And so that's a big proponent also of leaving. So, yeah, I mean, all these things have kind of like a springboard effect kind of.
Yeah, I when I was preparing for this question, I went to Google, and I just typed in, why are young people leaving the church? And one of the things that, you know, there was a survey done, it was done in 2007, which doesn't feel that long ago, but, you know, that's, it's like, you know, significant amount of time. So, you know, things may have changed, but the thing that I was looking at was the five most frequently, there was a survey done, and the five most frequently chosen specific reasons for leaving. And one was moving to college and no longer attending. One was church members seeming judgmental or hypocritical. The third was no longer feeling connected to people in their church. Number four was disagreeing with the church's stance on political or social issues, or some have phrased it like the church was too political. So different kind of disagreements there. And then the last one, major one, was work responsibilities replacing, you know, and not having enough time for that. And so the way I was kind of looking at these, I see sort of two categories. One is sort of situational, something is replacing that in your life, right? Like you guys have talked about, whether that's moving away to school, or work and your job is now taking a huge chunk of your life and you just don't have time. And you're replacing it with, you know, you have to trim the fat somewhere. And so you're getting rid of that. And then the other category I see is sort of interpersonal conflicts with other members of the church, of that specific gathering. And so you know, it's most of the reasons it's not like they're an atheist now or they don't believe in God anymore. You know, it's usually there's circumstances in the life that are kind of taking hold. And a lot of the people that leave are people who are entering into college. Mm. And that sort of age, right? And so generally at that point in your life, you're no longer living in your parents' home. You're no longer doing things because you live in their home and you have to do things because you're in their home. And so there is some sense of like, this is a really critical time in people's lives. And so, you know, if you're moving away to college, no one's telling you to get up and go to church anymore. Or if you're starting a job, that's a lot of stress and you have a lot of work and, you know, it's a new phase in your life that you really haven't really experienced the amount of labor that goes into working every day. And so like these factors kind of come in and it can be challenging. And then there's also, you know, the things I immediately thought of when I read the question was like, you know, people are hypocritical or, you know, you're not seeing reality in the church that you go to. And that's a big one for people, and people can tell, right, when you're, if you're not genuine. And so those are serious things, right? And you can point the finger, but oftentimes it's, you know, a reason might not be on that list. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a combination of things. Maybe, you know, there's often multiple factors in a person's life. So it's a very nuanced, very complicated, you know, answer.
Yeah. Just to touch on kind of the part where getting pulled away by external, maybe not the discouragement of people around or seeing the flaws in others. But one thing is that most people don't walk away for like a life of misery. They're doing things that are fun and going and finding a job they like and building a family. These are good things, going to college and having fun. And I don't want to talk about the negative side of it, but just this point that there's so many things that can, again, we're rich, we don't need it. So many things that can satisfy us. In Genesis 13, Lot saw the plains and they were well watered. And in Hebrews 11, again, not necessarily the negative side, but Moses didn't go after the pleasures, right? The pleasures of sin, but the pleasures. So the point that there's a lot of fun and enjoyable things to be had in this world. And you can just enjoy them even without enjoying them, just enjoy them through other people's lives on social media. And you could sit there and watch other people's lives for an hour at a time and then not have time for the Lord because you're just enjoying it all. And so just this point that it is enjoyable, but it's also temporary. It's just in this life, right? Our jobs, yes, we can use them for the Lord, but in and of themselves, they don't do anything. The meetings that I conduct have no eternal value. They may be a couple weeks or a year or whatever it is, but eternally so just this point that it is pleasurable and it's enjoyable and it's attractive. And so it's easy to get caught up in sports, TV, movies, Netflix. Like there's so many things to distract us and fill our time, and they're all enjoyable. So it's hard to avoid them.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with social media, because that was going to be my next big thing. I think that's really a big catalyst of also a mass exodus. And I'll tell you why, is that there's so much information, right? Like there's people who just go there for self-help. They go there for, you know, let's say the preachers that are preaching, you know, the TikTok preachers and the Instagram preachers, they did a little snippet and it goes viral and it's not any substance to it, but their people feel like they're getting the level of spirituality, right? And again, I'm not saying that these things are altogether negative, but there are people who believe that they don't need to read the Bible anymore. They don't need to spend time with other Christians. Like I can watch this TikTok preacher, or I can watch this, you know, this thing. And I think to the scripture in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, It says that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And so the thing is that what I'm touching here is that a lot of these people are false prophets. They're prosperity preachers. They say, well, if you thing and you know, you cast your bread upon the waters and you know, it's all this self-help things. And like, you know, if you give your money and thing, and so you start to feel, and people start to take this as like gospel, right? And when it doesn't happen for them, their love for God's things grow cold, right? And not only that, is it talks about lawlessness. I mean, you know, there's so much things trying to grab your attention on this social media, right? And the Bible talks about in Psalms 46 and verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God, right? I mean, sometimes you just need to take away all the digital distractions, take away all these different things, and just sit with the Lord and see what he's trying to say to you. Sit with the scriptures and try to see what he's saying to you. And the problem is that we don't want to sit with ourselves. We go from the phone to the TV to the this to that. And so there's no longer thing. And so when you talk to people, is that when's the last time you sat down? I can't sit down. I have to have my phone. I can't have to have this with me. And that's another issue I feel that you feel people are going towards. And then there's loneliness, right? The loneliness in social media. Even though we're connected, right? It's a lot of loneliness, right? And so that's another problem, that there's almost like a fake kind of thing where we feel we're connected, we're not really connected, right? And so people feel like, oh yeah, I saw this person, and where do you see them? I saw them on social media. So there's not Christians gathering together like how we used to, right? In order to see somebody's life, you have to actually talk to them and spend time with them. Now I can see people, kids grow up, you can see, you don't have to ever talk with them, right? I mean, you could just look through their life. And so I think that's another thing. We have to can't forsake the assembling of one another or fellowshipping one another.
Yeah. I was thinking of, with this question, I was thinking of 2 Timothy 4:10, where Paul talks about Demas. And how Demas forsook him, having loved this present world, right? And so very much to that idea of other priorities and other things come into your life, and you care more about those than about spiritual things. And it was happening in the very beginning, right? Yeah. You could see that, right? You see it with Demas, right? He was a worker with Paul, right? Paul, you could argue, was one of the greatest Christians ever, right? Imagine, you know, traveling with him and learning so much about, you know, seeing miracles and all these things. But the present world was more important to him. And even you could look at, obviously Judas might be a bad example, but Judas cared more about money than he did about the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I just think even the Lord, right? He sees some of those who are following him start going away, and he looks at his disciples and said, are you also going to go away? Right. And, you know, Peter's answer, like, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Right. And so Peter's priority, he knew what the Lord was offering to him. And Judas cared more about the money. Right. So those underlying motives are there. You know, I'm also, I think there's definitely the idea of, you know, the world today, the appeal of it drawing people away. But I also think that there's that other side, right? The, being disappointed with the other people, right? There's a book, I think it's Lord, Save Us From Your People. Some title like that, right? And the point is, right, oftentimes other believers are the reason that you leave, right? Like even what Gandhi would say, like, give me your Christ, I don't want your Christians. And so there's that side of it too, where the church itself, you know, we're flawed people, and you know, we're not perfect, and oftentimes things can push other people away, and we don't want to absolve people of their own choices and responsibilities. right? You make the decisions you make, right? You choose to leave God and to leave spiritual things. That's your choice, right? But on the other side of the coin, how is my behavior and how I live, how does that impact the people that are in the, you know, gathering with me, right? Whatever gathering you're in, right? Whatever those people that you're with, right? That's supposed to be your community, your Christian community. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to build one another up. And you look through the epistles, right? There's so many times where Paul's telling, like, encouraging people for unity, to keep the unity, to build each other up, to strengthen those that are weak, to be supportive and caring and help, right? And I just think of Philippians, right? He wrote the book or the letter of Philippians because there was conflict in their church, right? The two sisters were in conflict. He talks about that in chapter 4, right? To be of one mind, and to encourage them to be in unity. So often we can have those like feelings of, you know, sometimes animosity, but even just not feeling connected to these people, right? Mm. Like you get the feeling like these people don't care about me. You know, they don't even say anything to me when I'm there, or, you know, they don't make any time to try to interact with me throughout the week. You know, it's just, I get a hello, you know, they don't know me. They don't know anything about me, you know, and then it's so easy to kind of drift away. And so that's shame on us for doing that, right? And for not reaching out and trying to connect and trying to support and help. And we also need to, so often we don't notice the signs, right, that someone's losing interest. And so that's also shame on us for not, you know, being aware and being sort of attentive to the needs, you know, we all have different needs. We're all sheep, right, in this flock. And so there are those who have that shepherd's heart that need to be, you know, helping to shepherd the people and to care for them and to notice, right? The shepherd needs to notice when there's a problem, right? And so those who are in those roles, right? And those who are there to kind of build each other up, who have those gifts to help, need to be aware and be using their gifts. And, you know, and we can get more into the side of like hypocrisy and judgmental, that can probably take a whole nother conversation, but I'll stop for now.
Ed, Jesse, you mentioned two sides of a coin. I had that exact thought because I think sometimes we blame others for our own, whatever, the lack of interest. We say, well, such and such is going on. And the reality is that there needs to be a personal affection. I was thinking of Matthew 18:20. We're gathering to the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. It's not, I'm not gathering to meet with Jesse or Steve or so-and-so. And so there has to be an affection. You know, the Lord loved the church so much that he died for it. Read that in Ephesians, right? And so we have to have an affection return to him. But the scripture also does support that we should be characterized as happy people. In 1 Kings 10, the Queen of Sheba notes how Solomon's servants were happy. In Judges 8, it talks about the people with Gideon as resembling the sons of kings, right? And I think for a lot of Christians today, if you ask somebody off the street, the first thing they think of as a Christian, they might give you an answer about a political party or an ideology, a social ideology. They might not tell you about, well, they're the nicest people I ever meet. They're so happy. They have so much hope. Whenever I talk to them, they talk to me about the hope that's within them. That's First Peter, all these things that should characterize us. We do have a responsibility to resemble the Lord while we're here below and be a testimony for him. And it should be attractive to other people around. It shouldn't be something that somebody says, I don't want to be like that person. They're miserable. All they do is complain about this. They just tell me how to look or how to speak or where to go and what to do and how to say it and you know, all the different things. That shouldn't be coming out at all. There should be positive encouragement. Now, of course, you mentioned a shepherd, Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, the the rod and the staff are also for beating the sheep back onto the path, right? So sometimes it has to be done. That's part of shepherding. And if you have affection for the Lord, it'll work. And if the shepherd is doing it out of affection, it'll work. But I think a lot of times we as Christians get caught up in things that are not of the Lord. I mean, my mind goes right to politics because I think Christianity is so intertwined, or American Christian, whatever you want to call it, is so intertwined with politics and social issues that some people, when they think of Christian, they think of people throwing Molotov cocktails at certain buildings. And like, that's not Christianity at all. Mm. So we do have a responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a delicate balance, right? As you said, I mean, you know, that, as you said, the same rod that comforts, the same rod that could beat, but you need to know how to reach people. And I feel like I've seen, and it makes me always cognizant of the fact that we can be the people who drive people out too, right? And so, like, I'm always thinking about how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he always was one who drew people in. He was always someone who reached out to people. I mean, like, you know, sometimes we get caught up with the outside appearance. And I'm thinking about the madman of Gadara, right? I mean, he was not close. He wasn't even in his right mind, right? But when the Lord talked to him, got that relationship with him, it says he was clothed and he was sitting down in his right mind. The problem is that sometimes people are dealing with other issues and we want to clean them out from the outside and say, you have to look this way, you have to dress this way, you have to look this way. And we're not reaching out to the deeper issue, is that they don't have a relationship with the Lord right now, or they're down spiritually or something like that. And what we want to do is just have them look pretty. And we have to be careful, and I'm talking to myself, I have to be careful that we don't become modern day Pharisees. When the Lord said, he called them whitewashed tombs, mm-hmm. right? Because they were outside, they were beautiful, they were nice, they looked all spiritual, right? And we could have people like that where they're in the meeting, young people, and they're doing all the right things, they're saying all the right things, but when you go behind closed doors, they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes back to what Matt was saying, it's the affections, right? If your affections are not with the Lord, no matter, you know, what you do or what you say, if your affection not to what, again, you come, sometimes we meet with other people, as you said, but we gather to Lord Jesus Christ. That's our focus. He's in the midst, right? And if you don't have a personal relationship with him, I mean, you know, all these things, the enemy's using different tricks of bags, right? You know, bags of tricks to kind of like social media, the TV, the work. It's all just trying to grab your attention from the focus, which is having affections on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Lord Jesus Christ said, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters, right? I mean, you can't. And people are trying to do it. The people are trying to say, well, I'm going to prove God wrong. I'm going to have two masters. I'm going to have work and I'm going to have, it's not going to work. You're going to love the one and hate the other. And that's what the Bible says. You can't prove the Bible wrong. And so I go back to the fact that we have to be those who encourage. You know what I'm saying? We have to be those who, as you said, Jesse, reach out to people in a real way, get to know what they're going through, right? I mean, there was one time, I know a young man who was, he didn't look right on the outside. I wouldn't say what he had, you know, or what he was doing, but you know, you could tell like something else was going on. And the person said, well, you have to do this and do this. But the person was going through an internal struggle, right? And that person needed encouragement. I think sometimes we have to look at that and say, well, this person needs encouragement in this way. And so I think we have to have the heart of Christ also. And not drive people out.
Absolutely. It's such a challenge, right? Like, we're all complicated individuals. We all have things going on in our lives. We're all facing struggles. We're all facing, you know, things that we're dealing with. And we're called to, you know, be together. And so it's very easy, you know, going into you know, a church gathering, and it's very easy to look at people and to find fault in them, right?
Because they're there
absolutely. You know, I could just think, like, every person in the rows and in the seats, right? I could, if I wanted to, I could nitpick, I could, you know, start thinking of things, let my mind just kind of find things. And then like people that are in my own row, like my family, I could do it too. I could do it with myself. Right.
Yeah.
And so the, when we start looking at other people, right. It becomes a problem, right? We put our eyes on the wrong person or persons in that gathering, right? Our eyes should be on the Lord. And that's very easy to say, but sometimes it's hard, right? And there are legitimate, there is legitimate hypocrisy sometimes. And there's legitimate times where people are very judgmental or come off in the wrong way, right? A way that's not Christ-like. That happens all the time, right? Is the correct response to leave and to just give up on spiritual things? And, you know, not everyone that leaves a specific church leaves the Lord, right? I'm not suggesting that. I don't think any of us are suggesting that. Sometimes people go to a different gathering or a different church, and they're more faithful to the Lord there than they were where they were, right? And ultimately, you're responsible to be in the place where God has called you, right? But no matter where you go, there are imperfect people in that church. And so, you know, if you're seeing all the hypocrisy and all the wickedness and all the judgmental people that are in this building, you know, maybe God is putting you there to work on them, right? Maybe God wants you there so that you can be a help to these people who clearly need help, right? Clearly there's things that need to be addressed in their lives, and maybe that's why you're there, right? Or, you know, maybe the struggles that you're facing can help other people. We're all facing struggles. I'm just reminded of the end of the book of John, right? The Gospel of John, where Peter's walking with the Lord, and the Lord's telling him things about what's going to happen in his life. And then he looks back and he sees John following, and he says, Lord, what about him? And he says, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if you just follow me, right? It doesn't matter what the other people, what's going to happen with them. It doesn't matter what they're doing. I want you to follow me, right? Yeah. And so that's, I think, the hardest part, right? To, like, obviously we're here to help each other. We're here as a community. We're here to build one another up. But my ultimate responsibility is to follow the Lord, right? And so that's what I'm called to do as a Christian. And if Christ really matters to me, right? If I really want to follow him, then I want to know where he wants me, and that's where I want to be. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to gather where he wants me to gather with those believers. And I know that they're going to be a bunch of sinners just like me. And you know, I'm probably the worst one in the room. And so that's fine. And so, you know, we got to take our eyes off of other people. And as a young person, I find it easier to do that now as I'm older, than when I was a teenager, right? Because your emotions, everything is like more like elevated, and you're in your head more. At least for also me,
life humbles you.
I don't know. At least for me, because I remember there were times in, like, you know, in a meeting, and you're, you know, or singing songs, and you're just annoyed with how someone's singing, or you're just thinking about what someone said to you like a week ago or a few months ago, and you're just like in your head, like letting things fester, and now. I don't have that problem as much now. Now that I say that, I'm probably going to get challenged and something's going to happen. But, you know, things, your mind can, as you mature and develop, again, I say that with a grain of salt. But like, as you grow, it gets easier. Sometimes it gets harder. The more you've lived with people and experienced people, you know, to have that, you know, ability to kind of focus. But I've found it easier as I've gotten older to not have those thoughts. But it, you know, maybe I probably still have those thoughts, you know, sometimes, but it's a challenge. Sorry, I went on a little tangent there.
No, that's all right. But I wanted to say two things. I feel like there's also one other thing, and I think you have to be, people are leaving because they're not teachable, and we have to be careful what we're teaching, right? And so, like, so there's so much information out there, right? Mm-hmm. So now people feel like, you know, I speak to somebody the other day, and I'm telling them, well, you know, something in my field, and I know I'm an expert in it, right? And they're like, okay, Siri, what the, like, they don't even want to hear what you have to say. Like, they're like, all right, I don't need your information. Like, I know better, right? I just could talk to Siri or ChatGPT or whatever, right? I don't need to, like, so people have become unteachable, right? Where they're like, you're teaching them something, and it could be from the word of God. And they're like, well, okay, yeah, he's saying that, but I'm going to go, like, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't be Berean, but I'm saying, like, you have to also be teachable, right? You have to be able to accept what the word of God, the Lord uses people to give us ministry, right? And if the Lord is using that person, we should sit back and take it. But you cannot be somebody who's not teachable, right? And that's another reason. But then there's also the flip side of it, right? That we have to be practical in our teaching, right? That we, there's sometimes, you know, I know, and I don't want to misquote it, but somebody said, you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, right? That the teaching is too high for some people that you can't, like, they can't even delve into it, right? And so you have to make it practical so people can digest it, right? And so, I mean, again, I'm all for high thoughts and stuff like that. I mean, I enjoy it, right? But there's some people who cannot delve into it, right? You have to make it practical for these young people. So sometimes they feel like, you know, I hear them, they say, well, you know, this is too much for me, right? I can't understand it, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, and stuff. So we have to, two sides of the coin. We have to make it practical for them. You know what I'm saying? You know, that letting them know that these are still applicable for today, right? It's not, these are not just old teachings, right? These are applicable for today. They're practical things for today. But also on the other side of the thing, that you have to be teachable, right? You can't, you know, a lot of people are leaving because they don't want to be taught. They don't want to bow to the word of God. They don't want to bring themselves under the lordship of Christ. They want to say, like, well, you know, yeah, he's saying that, but I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to think, because and it's, again, the same thing. They're looking for a teaching that the Bible says about itching ears, right? I mean, they're looking for people who are going to fit their mold, right? You know what I'm saying? And so that's another side of the point. I just want to touch on that.
Don't put the cookie jar too high.
Exactly.
That's a good one. I was just thinking, it's like, you know, even, you know, not looking at the people, right? You kind of alluded to it, like, sometimes there are certain things we're looking for in the church, right? Like, I want to go somewhere where there's a dynamic preacher, right? Who like really can preach well, right? Or I need to go somewhere where the singing is great and there's music and it's, you know, that's what I need, or I want, or what you're looking for, right? And you're making this kind of like checklist, right? And like, what we want, ultimately, what we should want is, I want to go where the Lord wants me and where he's going to make me grow the most. Mm. And you know, maybe what we want and what we need might not be the same. And you know, there's different, you have to go where the Lord wants you to be, right? So wherever that is, and that's ultimately what you're responsible to do as a believer. That's for each and every one of us. And so it's so easy to be discouraged. It's so easy to want to go to greener pastures, right? Especially if there's you know, issues or there's struggles that are happening. Even sometimes it's like hard to wake up on a Sunday morning and get the kids ready, you know, and go. I'm sure it's easier to sleep in, you know, especially if you worked every other day that week and you worked on Saturday, and like, this might be your one day to sleep in. And, you know, sometimes just the life and the pressures of life, and it's just easier and more convenient. And ultimately we live in a country where it's very convenient to be a Christian, to be honest, right? It's not hard to be a Christian here. it might be getting harder, just seeing how the world is, how the culture is shifting. It may get harder to be a Christian, but it's still like, no one's going to come into my house and kill me when my, kill my children in front of me or anything like that. You know, I'm not at risk of being imprisoned for my faith. Like, so there's also that element where like Christianity here is kind of soft, right? It's not like, like Matt was saying initially, right? Like there are places in the world where Christianity is exploding, right? These people are hungry, hungry for this, right? And they, it's real to them. Where it's harder if you've grown up in this and it's just part of your life, and it never really was your faith, right? I think a lot of people too, and they're reaching that college age and reaching kind of that young age where you're becoming independent, like at some point, right, it's no longer the faith of your mother or the faith of your father, or the faith of your family. It has to be your faith, right? Like I'm deciding to follow the Lord, right? My parents are no longer forcing me. There's no longer the pressure of my family. It's my choice, right? And, you know, we want to have lived lives and to show the love of Christ and the grace and the truth of the Lord in our lives and in our gatherings, so that when these young people grow up, they see reality, right? They see these people really believe this stuff. And they really, like, we want them to want it, but it's so challenging.
Just two quick points. You mentioned greener pastures, the expression, the grass is always greener. There's a counter to that, that the grass is green where you water it. And so the point I want to mention is, number one, the answer is never to leave. So Jesse kind of clarified, we're not talking about whether you go to this church or that. The question was about leaving the church, being believers altogether, and leaving the Lord's things. And so that's never the answer. That's never the right answer. As Jesse said before, we shouldn't forsake the assembling together, and we certainly shouldn't forsake the Lord. And so Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 talk about investing in laying up treasures in the Lord. And so water the grass that's around the Lord, and it will grow. He will give you treasures that will last.
Amen.
I really appreciate you both. Thank you both for taking the time. Matt, it was a pleasure to have you. Would love to have you again in the future. Just let us know. No pressure. Feel free to let us know. Just want to say thank you to whoever asked the question. Really appreciate these questions, and it's really, they're always challenging, and always help us, you know, to think and to really, you know, search the scriptures. And we talked about, you know, the whole point of this podcast is to, how do these things, how do we live here? Right. And you talked about, you know, so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That's sort of why we have this podcast, right? To ask these questions, and to, we believe the word of God can help us live here, right? And to actually live our lives here. So we're grateful for every question that's submitted, even if it's hard. And so please continue to submit those questions, and please, for all those who are praying for this, please continue to pray. We are so thankful for your prayers, and just please don't stop. Just have a good night, everybody. Thank you guys.
Good night.
Good night.